Hey folks, Dan Frew here, and today we're going to talk about interest rates and how do we do what I say we do. So I always come out in my videos and I say, hey folks, this is Dan Frew and blah, blah, blah. I tell you a little bit about myself. And then anyway, we have that tag that I always say, it's one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan to over 30 different lenders. Well, I'm going to pull the curtain back today and show you exactly how we do things. But the first thing I need you to understand is mortgage rates in general. How are they computed? How do you figure them out? How do you monitor them? What kind of loan program should you fit in? So we're going to dissect a little bit into different loan programs. And then we're going to take a deep dive into, like I said, with rates, because I get your confusion. If you go over to mortgage rates on a daily basis, you see this. I just went into Yahoo Finance. What's today's rates? Well, if you go here, I usually use Mortgage News Daily, and a lot of people use this system. CNBC uses it, Yahoo Finance. I actually got an email from Yahoo Finance yesterday asking me to write an article about mortgage rates and real estate. They actually did this in 2020. I'll try to find that article, and I'll put it down below if you can see that. But I was mentioning Yahoo Finance a couple years ago, and it looks like I might be into maybe an article tomorrow or Friday, so I'll keep an eye out for that because they just notified me yesterday and I responded back last night. So here's where mortgage rates are. Every day I come out and I say, okay folks, here's where rates are, and we go through it. But if you go through and check out other rates, you're going to go here, today's mortgage rate 6.62, then on a 15 year it's 5.85. what do we got over here? 6.8 and 6.04, and that's not the same. Go over to here, and Freddie Mac has the mortgage rate at 6.8 and 5.9, 6.8, yep, 5.0. So where are these rates coming from? So that's what we're trying to figure out. So what you have to understand is what creates the rate. It's not the Federal Reserve, because a lot of people know that. And I posted a video last night on how our Congress people should actually know economics. I got some grief about it, but if you're in politics and you're sitting there creating policies for all this stuff, at least you should know a little bit about what you're talking about, not just go in and read, you know, notes that maybe you can get a snapshot on a TV. But let's get over and kind of dissect these things and why this data that I go over every day is so important. So what I want you to understand is how the economic calendar, the news that we're getting, bond rates, and what the Federal Reserve is going to do is actually a big component of your mortgage rate and also your credit scores and a bunch of other factors. So let me explain it to you. So here's, you have to first understand what mortgage rates are and how they're determined. Okay, so the first thing is, what determines mortgage rates? So the first thing we have here is economic conditions, like inflation and jobs. Why this caption, inflation and jobs? That's the two mandates of the Federal Reserve. They were created back in, I think it was the 30s, to basically keep inflation in check and to keep jobs at their maximum capacity, whatever that might be. So the Fed right now is saying, well, inflation's kind of in check, but the big beautiful tax bill, as well as the tariffs, are starting to show some confusion with that. And then now that what they're going to do is put most of their focus on the jobs market. So we're going to focus in on jobs, and I'm going to explain to you how this actually affects your mortgage rates. Okay, the Federal Reserve influences rates via monetary policy and bond markets, but they don't really control mortgage rates. 10-year Treasury bond yields are the major benchmark when it comes to fixed-rate mortgages. Now, if you watch my channel on a daily basis, you can see how we've kind of debunked this over time. Are we getting back to more normal times? Well, I did a video this morning. You can kind of check that. It was this morning's post. There was a discussion on how the 10-year Treasury might plummet down to 4%. And a lot of people were anxious that this would hit 5%, and it hasn't, and it's been dropping ever since we started getting some news on oil in the Middle East, kind of a peace agreement in the Middle East with Israel and Iran. Okay, so now this is what influences it in the market. So you look at inflation, jobs, the Federal Reserve, the 10-year Treasury. But other pieces of the components are this. What influences your rate? So the influences are your credit score. Income, it fits in place if you can qualify for something. Like, we have a grant program right now. And if your income is at 80% or lower of the area median income that you live in, you might qualify for a $7,000 grant, or a grant up to $7,000 to help you with your down payment assistance. And you can use it for down payments, closing costs, and so forth. So I'll go over that at the end of this video. I'll show you some perks that we got going on right now. The debt levels that you have, that's called your debt ratio and your credit scores and everything else. Loan types. You have the options of a fixed and adjustable rate in most cases. Home types, you can get all kind of home types, and we won't go here. I'm going to go deeper into different mortgage programs and how that influences your rates and things like that as well. And why mortgage rates change daily? Well, rates they respond to the 10-year Treasury yield, inflation reports, federal actions, and a whole bunch of other things, even what the Federal Reserve is expected to do. Okay, so what I want to show you now is different variations of loan types, and then we're going to kind of dive into the rates. So I first need you to understand what kind of program that you might qualify for and the whys behind it. So let's break this down, see if you qualify, which program you do, and then we're going to get over to the rates so we can start pricing out some loans for you. So what I'm going to take is whoever posts their question first. I'm going to take the top 10 questions when it comes to mortgage rates. So the first thing I want you guys to do is if you join me, I need a few things, details from you, and I'll post that here in a second. Hey, Dennis, how you doing, buddy? Nice to see you too, bud. Let's see what you got to say. I'm going to dive into this in a second, but you should start the market closing before the market actually closes. Just a thought. I could do that. Usually what happens is I try to end my day about 4 or 5 o'clock. It actually takes me about 2 hours to do everything I do because I do the research, I do the videoing, I do the editing, I do the posting. I actually do everything, my thumbnails and the whole works. So I don't have, you know, I'm not like a lot of the YouTubers where have staff do this. I actually do it on my own. But great point there. I'll try to bring that in. I'll try to post that before the market closes, so at least you get an idea what's going on behind the scenes. So thanks for joining us. Who else do we have? We have Jack and Ives. Dan, does the gifter of a gift of equity have to pay taxes on it for a gift of equity? So I don't know if you're looking at a gift of equity or a gift of like cash. So if you're giving someone cash for a down payment, it's a gift. We don't record anything with the IRS or anything like that, so it's not recorded anywhere. It's not really money given to you. I don't know. You'd have to check with a tax accountant, but I don't know if it is or not. We have a lot of gifting of monies. Some people can pay it back because it's a gift. You know, is there a payback there or not? But if it's a gift of equity, what you're doing there is basically you're selling the house, and then any capital gains you have on the basically where you bought it from, you know, what price you bought it at and what the price is now, you'll have to pay kind of capital gains on that difference unless you do an exchange where you're kind of moving to another house and moving that money over, and then you don't have to pay any taxes on it. So there's different consequences if it's going to be a gift of equity. It's basically a pass-through, or a gift of funds where I'm not quite sure if it is taxable. I don't think so, but check with your tax accountant on that. Let's check and see. One last thing from my guess is mortgage rates stay within 0.257 till the end of the year, even if the Fed starts cutting rates. Your thoughts? Actually, my thoughts, let's get into it. So thanks for asking, Dennis, and thanks for being here again. You used to always be here, and I greatly appreciate you coming back. Okay, so here's what we got. Conventional loans. I want to go over kind of conventional FHA and VA. Okay, just to see if you fit these criteria, and then we're going to go into the pricing engine. I'm going to show you how rates vary based on how much money you're putting down, how much money, how much your credit scores are, and even if you make 80% or lower the area median income in your area, you might qualify for programs like I was just talking about, a 1% down loan. So let's break down the loan types, and then we'll start breaking down where those rates look like. So when you're looking at a conventional loan, this is how I explain this is it's just when you talk about a mortgage, that's just you're just a standard mortgage. Rates are competitive. You could, as you saw when we first started the video, I went to 2 or 3 websites and they're all different. So we're trying to figure out, or I'm trying to help you guys, guide you through what are mortgage rates, how do you analyze them, what program is best for you. So let's break it down. Okay, they have competitive rates, but they're all over the map. It's like buying a car. Can avoid PMI with a 20% down loan. So if you put 20% down on your home, you wouldn't need PMI. So let me break those two things down for you. First, PMI is people call it private mortgage insurance, whatever. If you don't put 20% down on a home with a conventional loan, you'll need to pay what this is. So what is 20% down? So basically it means if you're buying, let's say, a $100,000 home, 20% down would mean you're putting down 20%, so that'd be $20,000. Well, most people don't have that much money. So think if you're buying a $300,000-$400,000 home, that could add up to a lot of money. So that's why we come up with programs, especially one right now, only requires 3% of a down payment versus 20%. You have flexible options. Sorry about that, folks. Flexible loan terms. You go 10, 15, 20, 30. We even have kind of customary loan terms. So if you wanted a 28-year term, we could do it. So there's basically rates or terms from 10 years all the way up to 30. Many times you can actually fill in the gaps in between that to customize your term. Widely accepted by sellers and in competitive markets, a lot of sellers, when they're selling you their home, they really want you or prefer you to go with a conventional loan versus an FHA or VA, because the appraisals are, I won't say a lot, let's say they're much more stricter when it comes to FHA and VA because they're government-sponsored loans. So in conventional loans, they basically just want to make sure the value's there. When you're looking at a conventional or an FHA or VA loan, since they're government-guaranteed, they want to make sure not only is the value there, but is there also safety there? Like, is there broken windows? Is there asbestos paint? Is there cracks in the foundation, mold, things like that? They don't want to see. Conventional, you can get away with some of those things. Not all, but you can get away with some of those. The cons are higher credit scores and down payment requirements. PMI is required if you put less than down than 20%. And it has a tougher debt to income ratio. We call this your debt ratio. So basically this spells it out. Debt to income. What is that? Well, take your debts, everything on your credit report, okay, and everything you're legally liable to pay, meaning child support, things like that, not your cell phone bill and your car insurance and things like that. Just anything, think of it this way, anything on your credit report, plus anything that you might be court ordered to pay, put it that way, plus your proposed mortgage payment. And the payment would include principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and PMI if you need PMI. So that would be your debt. You add up all those monthly payments and divide it by your monthly gross income. That'll equate out to what your debt ratio is. So if it's under 50%, good chance you can go with a conventional loan. When it goes over 50%, that's where some of these other factors come in. And you also see when we're doing our pricing engine, you're going to see how much lower FHA and VA rates are normally than a conventional loan, especially if you have a lower credit score. And I'll get to that here in a minute. The FHA loan, like I said, it's a federal housing loan. It's guaranteed by the federal government. You can get away with low credit scores all the way down to 580. Now, you can go down to 500. Those are hard. Okay, so if you have a 580 credit score or more, you still qualify for the 3.5% down. But if you have a score under 580, you can buy with 10% down. But if you have under 580 credit score, you might have some credit dings there. It might be hard to get you qualified. So, but if you want to try it out and you want to, you know, you need our help with it, I'll give you my information at the end of this video to help you out. Okay, the down payment on an FHA loan, I don't care if you're buying a single family unit, a 1, 2, 3, or a 4-unit building. A lot of people call it different differences throughout the country. We call it here in Chicago a 4-flat. So you might call it a double duplex or something like that. You can get up to a 4-unit building and still only put down 3.5%. So think, if you buy a 3-unit, 4-unit building, you have all that other rent coming in that could possibly just completely pay your mortgage payment. So that's why a lot of people, when they're buying a multi-unit, they might go with an FHA loan. Okay, debt ratio, you can go up to 57%. Now, don't shoot me or don't shoot the messenger here. I didn't mean that literally. These are the guidelines. I don't make them up. It's just that's the guidelines. And it can help first-time homebuyers, especially if they have some past credit issues where you don't have, that 720 credit score. You have some dings on there. This might be a good entry point for you to get in. The cons with this is it requires upfront mortgage insurance. They usually charge you 1.75% of the loan amount as a funding fee. And it can be financed, so a lot of times you don't really see it in there, but it will be financed and in your loan. The MIP cannot be removed unless you refinance into a conventional loan. Well, this is actually incorrect. You can refinance your PMI, MIP, they call it on the FHA loan. If you put down 10% or more, you only have your PMI on there for 11 years. Okay, but if you only put down 3.5%, or if you put less than 10% down there on there, you'll have, this is correct here, you will have that PMI or MIP on there for the life of the loan, and you would have to refinance to get out of it. A lot of buyers, they kind of don't like this. Like we just said, the appraisals are a little tight. If your seller's a little leery of selling you a house based on an FHA appraisal, you might have a little bit concerned. Are they hiding something from you? If they're not and the house is in good condition, you should have really no problem. Same thing with the VA. Now, VA loans, I don't know why, but only about 12% of people that are eligible for VA loans use their VA loans. I had a young man apply yesterday. I got him pre-approved, and he said, I don't qualify for the VA because I used all my benefits up, and I had to double check that. And he said, well, I already have two other homes, and I used up all my benefits on those two. So if you have a VA loan or you're eligible for VA, you can buy one, you can buy two homes, you can buy, as long as you don't use up all your VA benefits, but it has to be your primary home at the time where you purchase. There's no down payment required. There's no PMI. This could save you $200-$400 a month in PMI. Interest rates are much better than conventional loans in most cases, unless you have a really high credit score. And it is fluctuates on your credit. You can go with a 580 credit score or higher. It usually isn't credit score based to a point, but it looks over your overall credit and makes a decision on there. It does have a funding fee in most cases that can be rolled in. Those funding fees vary if you used it the first time or multiple times. But if you're disabled, many times you avoid this VA funding fee, and that can be a game changer because these fees, if you're looking to refinance, sometimes can be like 3.3% of your loan amount as a funding fee to the VA. Not me, to the VA. I think that's kind of absurd. So a lot of times when people are looking to do that, I try to work around some different other programs to see if we can fit them in there to get them out of that cost. Think about it. If you did a $200,000 loan, you would have to pay $6,600 to VA for the funding fee if you used it multiple times. So there might be other areas to go and other loan products to use instead of that. So those are the basically the guidelines there. I did put USDA on here. Now, I hate putting USDA up here because when you see people saying, you know, we come in with, well, you don't have any down payment required, you have a low PMI, everybody wants to try to qualify for this, but USDA loans are really hard. You have to be in a USDA area, so you can just Google. The best way to do this, if you're looking for a USDA loan, reach out to me. But the first thing is just Google USDA qualifications. The first thing you're going to have to do is the house is going to have to be in a USDA deemed area. If it's not, can't get a USDA loan. Then the big piece of the puzzle is your debt ratio too high? Because they only go to about a 41% debt ratio, and also they do have income caps. So there's a whole bunch of pieces of the puzzle to try to get through when you're trying to do a USDA loan, and it's usually more difficult than any other loan, but it does have its benefits. So if you're in a rural area and you validate all that stuff, please reach out to me. I'd love to help you in any way navigate this and work on the rates and the fees and everything else. So just a snippet right through here. Let's look at it. Conventional loans, you're going to need at least 3% down if you're a first-time home buyer, up to 20% down in some cases if you want to avoid PMI. 620 credit score plus, and you have PMI if you don't put 20% down or more. FHA, 3.5% down, 580 plus credit score, and you do have mortgage insurance, and it is best for first-time and low credit score people. VA, it's 0% down as well as USDA. The credit scores vary. USDA requires a 640 credit score. If it's lower than that, you're going to have a really tough time. Insurance on the VA, none. USDA has a little bit, and you have to be a military or a veteran or in the military and have your certificate of eligibility if you're looking to go with the VA. So those are the areas that we can help you into. So now let's get over to this piece of the puzzle. Here's what we're seeing today in the markets. Let's go over to the news. So what we saw, or what we just captioned, is this is why every day I go over this data with you, because all this data fills in the void of what the Federal Reserve's looking at. Because remember when we went to that caption, the things that affect rates is inflation, unemployment, GDP, unrest in the economy, unrest in the world, and all those things are happening right now. So some of the pieces we go over daily is right through here. Like, let's say, for example, the Federal Reserve is really concerned right now about unemployment and also inflation. Well, they focus most on the PCE when it comes to inflation. So let's get over to the economic calendar, and you can see this week we're getting a lot of this data in. So on Wednesday, we got new home sales. It was dismal. But on Thursday, we're going to have a GDP, an initial jobless claims. That's going to give us some idea on how robust the economy is with durable goods orders and GDP. Then we have initial jobless claims. That's going to show us how the job market is. And then we also have PCE coming in. So you see how a lot of that data is filling in just in the next 2 days. So it's going to be a volatile ride over the next 2 days. And that's why I wanted to explain to you guys what's going on in the markets and how do you figure out what's going on with mortgage rates. So let's get over to it. So what I'm going to do is, if you're in there, I need the top. I'm going to take the top 10 people that provide me this information. So let me break down the information I need from you. The first thing is I need your credit score. Okay, so I need your credit score. So if you're going to post me, make sure you have your credit score in there. There's going to be more. There's probably going to be about 4 or 5 components. So make sure you have these in, so when we jump into the pricing engine, I can start running rates for you. Okay, so I need your credit score. The type of property you're buying, is it a single family, a condo, 2-unit, 3-unit, 4-unit? So that's property type. And then I need your loan amount, Well, we're first going to need the value of the home or the purchase price, and then the loan amount you're going to need. So that's going to determine the loan to value. So we got that. We got the credit score, the property type, loan amount that you need, and your zip code, because that is prevalent when it comes to trying to figure out the area median income for you guys out there. But here's what we're seeing right now. The bond market took a little bit of a nice move earlier today. It was dropping. It was down about 10 points, and then it rallied up, and now we're at 6 points up. But what you focus in on here is this is the mortgage bond that we focus in on. The when we went over the tools in this presentation right through here, it talked about the 10-year treasury. You know, it's that's what you should focus in on if you don't have access to the MBS. Because if you have access to the MBS, this is actually the mortgage bond that trades on Wall Street, and that creates your mortgage rate. So here's what happens is the price, what you're going to see here, this is actually what's going on with the 10-year treasury. And a lot of people, analysts this morning, if you watch my video this morning, there's some analysts saying that this could drop all the way down to 4%. Okay, so historically, here's where mortgage rates have usually been, but there's a complete disconnect. You would take this rate, 4.2, and you'd add 1.75 to that, and that would be your mortgage rate. So if you did that, 4.2, let's say 4.3 plus 1.7 gives you 6. Okay, the rate's at 6.8. So it's inflated, or much more inflated than it usually is. That's the risk-based premium that's built in right now, and that will eventually erode, but over time. When it's going to be, don't really know. So what we want to focus in on then is what the mortgage-backed security bond's doing, because this is basically where your mortgage rate's created. It takes the yield off of this, plus what's called loan level price adjustments. That's, you know, if your score is lower, you're going to get a higher rate. If you're buying a 4-unit property versus a single family, it's going to be a little bit higher rate. Those are what we call LLPAs. And then there's the bank's profit margin. So if you look at this trend, this is what's going on in the mortgage world. This is nice, because this isn't rates. This is the price of the bond. So as the price of the bond goes up, rates are coming down. So a lot of people get that kind of confused, because when you look at other rates or other bonds, like the 10-year treasury, it's giving us the yield. And you can see the yield's coming down nicely. But then when it goes to the mortgage-backed security market, it gives us a price. It gets a little bit of a head scratcher there. But so far, you know, the rates are going pretty nice over the last 4 or 5 trading periods. So I'm not gonna fight this right now, because mortgage rates continue to drop lower and lower and lower. So this is this is why we focus on this data, this bond, and then also the economic news that comes out on a daily basis, and that'll tell us what's going to go on with these things over here. So I went through that. Here's where rates have been over time. And I did a video a couple days ago, and I said, folks, mortgage rates have been in the 7% range for at least 2 years now. And I got a lot of people saying, no. Well, here's where they historically have been. Mortgage rates in 2018, 4.5. Don't you wish you had those now? No, here's where you wish you had. I refinanced my house in June, or in actually probably it was June of 2021. My rate is 2.6. So I even refinanced my son at that time. So this is where a lot of people say, you know, you marry the house and date the rate. Well, this is kind of where rates have been. I'm not a proponent of that. I want you to, if you're going to buy a house, I want you to be able to afford it long term. And then if rates come down, it's only a little bit kudos to you. You'll be able to save some money there. But I don't want you to buying a house hoping or anticipating that the rates have to go lower for you to afford that house, because I don't want to put you in that position. But here's where rates have been. So if you look back in 2023, they were about where they are now. So in 23, 24, and so far in 25, we've been 6.75 to 7%. Okay, so let's get over to rates, and then I'll talk about, let's start pricing some loans for you guys. So if anybody posted out there, but let's answer some questions for you. I got to put my cheaters on. I'm old, folks. I turned 60 on Sunday. Spent the whole day in my car traveling. Went back to see my mom. So let's get back. I don't know. I apologize, Dennis, if I already answered this. Yep, I didn't answer that. Here's what I'm thinking, okay? I don't think, and this, I might get in trouble for this, but I don't think the tariffs are going to be that big of a deal. Here's what I want to explain to everybody. Just think of it this way. I don't care if you're a Trump fan or you hate the guy. I'll stay it this way to make it politically correct. Do you think he's going to want to be known as the president when the real estate market crashed and interest rates spiked? He's made his fortune in real estate. So do you really think that that's the direction things are going to go? I'll leave it at that. That's what I'm kind of hoping on. But a lot of the data, even the Federal Reserve chairman, he spoke this morning in front of Congress, and he spoke actually yesterday as well. And it keeps coming back saying the economy's in pretty darn good shape. If we just knew what was going to go on with the tariffs and what's going on with Russia and Ukraine and now what's going on with Israel and Iran, it's a mess out there. But, you know, it is what it is. So I try to come on a daily basis to explain to you guys what's going on and the whys behind it. So let's get over to it. If you guys post that data, I'm going to run rates for you. But I'm going to run a generic one for you just first so we can have a base loan here or a base view so you can just see where we're starting with. So what I put in right now is a fictitious borrower, but they have a 780 credit score, which is a really good credit score. They make $10,000 a month. They're looking for a loan to buy their first house. It's $350,000. They're putting down 3%, so we have a 97% LTV. Now there's different options we have as well. It also depends on what your income is right through here, because if you're in certain areas, we do have a program. Let me show you this. We have a program that just came out, I think it was 2 weeks ago. If you meet certain criteria, you can get qualify for the 3% down program. We're going to give you two of that 3% up to $7,000. Okay, but you have to be in a certain income bracket to hit this. You have to be 80% or lower the area median income in your area. How do you figure that out? Well, you can go to the website. You can probably, the easiest way to do this is just go to Fannie Mae AMI lookup. Click it, and it gives you Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It doesn't matter if you know who these entities are. You're going to hear a lot more about them because of Congress is trying to get this to, they are now in control. They're controlled by the government, but now they're trying to go back to a public sector, and it's a whole mess. But you can click these. It'll go take you to a map. I think Fannie Mae is a little bit confusing when you go to it. No, you just click here, and you put in your zip code or your address right through here. So I'll go 60623. That's Chicago. Let's see what that does for us. I don't know if it's going to give me... Okay, so the area median income in Chicago for the Home Ready program is $94,000. So if you make $94,000 or less and you're in that zip code, you most likely are on your way to qualifying for this program. So that's how you look up, and that's basically the tool there. So we have it built into this system. So what I put over here is I put in the affordable program, and that's what helps me sort this data. So what I'm putting in here right now is a $350,000 purchase, 97% loan to value, meaning they're putting down 3%. It's a first-time home buyer, 780 credit score, make $10,000 a month. They live in 60623, which is in Chicago, Illinois, and it's a single-family home, primary residency, one unit. So we got to get all this data. So if you're watching this, this is the data I need. We're going to hit submit. Now here's what's going on. This is searching all the lenders that I have access to. Okay. And because I work at a federal bank, and my slogan is, you know, I'm Dan Freo here. I work at a federal bank, and our federal bank is signed up with 30. Well, right now we just added two more lenders, 34 lenders. And here they are. You can't get access to these companies, because if you look through here, all these say wholesale, 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 wholesale. You have to be a bank, a lender, or a broker to get access to these programs. But you're going to see down through here, it's going to say Fannie Mae 30-year fixed. Then it's going to say Fannie Mae FHLC. That's Freddie Mac. This is a conforming W-2 program. This is a conforming Freddie Mac W-2 program. Look at all the rates. But right here, this is what it tells me. It's saying right now, this company has a rate at 6.625, and that's the rate. And the same parameters, the same criteria. If you go down through here and go through, for example, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but if you go to, let's say, 11 mortgages, their Fannie Mae conforming agency direct 30-year term fixed rate, rate is 6.25, it would cost you $5,347 in points to get the same rate as you would, or as we would, right over through here. So that's how we do our searching behind the scenes. And then what we do is all these lenders in here, we've vetted tremendously. So we know they're in good standings. We know they're tremendous mortgage companies. So we work with them, and basically we already have a predetermined fee that they pay us for doing all the work. So you can access all these programs with my website right through here, therateupdate.com. So let's get over to these and start pricing out some loans. I'm going to do 10 of them if we have time to do that. So let's get to it. Thanks, Dennis. You just wished me a happy birthday. I appreciate it. Let me go to where we last left off. So I'm going to try to... If the Fed cuts rates in July, does it mean mortgage rates will drop soon? Nope. Paul, unfortunately, if you go back to September of last year, 2023, the Federal Reserve dropped rates a 0.5% for the first time in like a long time. Mortgage rates actually spiked. It went from September of 2023. Is that when they cut the rates, or 2024? Rates went down to 6.2 when they cut. Within 4 days, 4 trading days of the Federal Reserve cutting, rates were already up to 7.2. So it went up 1 full percent. And the whole data was, the Federal Reserve doesn't really control it. What controls it is all the data that we go over daily. So that's what all I ask you to do is join me each morning and each evening. I'm going to tell you exactly within 5 minutes what's going on in the markets, and then you know. I'm not sugarcoating anything. Let me put it this way, and I don't mean this in a rude way. I don't care if you buy a house or not. I truly don't. I want you to be able to afford the house, you to be able to qualify for the house, you to want the house before you buy a home. I'm not here to talk you into or out of it. My goal is to help you once you say, okay, I want to buy a house in 2025. I'm tired of renting. I really would like to buy a house. I hopefully can be your mortgage loan officer, because I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. So there's no need that you shouldn't be able to use me. So let's get over to it. First one is, so Paul, that's my just tuned in daily, because I'm going to give you each day the data that's affecting rates and what the rates are actually doing. Okay, so let's get to the next one. Sir, sorry, but I'm not interested for any mortgage at USA because my age, so delete my name or off. Alrighty, well then just just unclick from being on the YouTube videos, I guess. I don't know. Happy birthday, Dan. Thanks, Dennis. What do we got here? B648 FICO, I think. Okay, here we go. Paul Hernandez. Let's see what we got, Paul. Let's go to the pricing engine. We're going to start a whole new search. So, Paul, you have a 780 credit score. And single family new build, $652,000. You're in the zip code 92507, California. Awesome. And you're probably looking at, Paul, I'm just going to assume you're going 96.5% loan to value, because that's the minimum requirement. So we're going to take that. And your income, well, let's just base it off that, because most of the time FHA, a lot of these income things and things like that don't really affect FHA pricing. So let's get over to FHA. Do we have this? We're going to go over to FHA, standard purchase, and we looks like we got everything. So we're going to click it and see where it takes us. And you're going to see there's going to be huge variance in this. And then, so, okay, we got right through here. Whoa, we have one company at 6%. And one company at 5.99. So it looks like we are getting way down there right now, folks, when it comes to FHA pricing. So this is what, so again, Paul, look at what we did. Let's say, for example, you didn't reach out to me and you reached out and you end up calling, I don't know, one of these companies down here, United Wholesale Mortgage. And they offered you a rate at 6%, but then they're going to say, well, that rate's going to cost you 2 points or $13,000 for the same program. Okay, so this is why I try to educate people on, you know, why would you use me? Okay, so here's the unique thing about this. Let's say, for example, you're in the process of buying a home and we lock you in. So let's say we lock you in. Okay, so right through here. Here's how a lock works. It's kind of like, well, once you lock in your rate, you're locked in. You can't change it. You can't call the bank and say, well, you know, I messed up, rates dropped, and I really wanted a lower rate. They're going to say, you can't do that. It's kind of like buying a stock. Here's my best reference for this is this. If you're looking to, like, NVIDIA stock's on a tear, and you might be watching it saying, I'd like to buy that. And then you see one day it's down, you know, 100 points, and then the next day it's up 50 points. You're like, okay, I'm watching it. That's called floating. Okay, you didn't do anything. You're monitoring it, just trying to find the position you want to jump in. Then all of a sudden it drops a little bit and you're like, okay, I'm buying. So then you buy it $200 a share. The next day it goes down 50 bucks, is $150 a share. You call your broker back and you're like, hey, can I sell that back to you at 200 bucks and then buy it back at 150? They're going to probably laugh at you. So that's how it works. You can't do it. But what we could do, let's say, for example, we took Loan United's loan here. And let's say, Paul, you went and for some reason there was some problems with the house. There was mold. You had to have mitigation done. And it took us 90 days to close because of all this. Well, we blew your lock. Okay, so the lock's no good anymore. Well, what happens now? Well, we can go back, or let's say I have another example. Let's say, for example, rates, the Fed comes out and the tariff news comes out and it's fantastic. There's no tariffs anymore and the rates just plummet and rates drop 0.5%. Well, if you locked in with your broker or your realtor referred you to, you're stuck. you're stuck because they're going to say, I can't help you because it's like buying that stock Dan talks about. Well, here's what we could do. Not only did we find you the best one originally, we'll go back through and rerun this and say, okay, Loan United, can you help me with this client? Because if not, we're going to lose the client because rates dropped tremendously. I need your help. If they come back and say, yeah, we can help you with it, great. If they say, no, sorry, we can't do anything, I'm going to say, well, withdraw it, and I'm going to be moving this borrower. So then we'll rerun pricing and get you the best price again. So this is where we come into benefit. Not only initially can we help you out, during the whole process, we can help you out as well. So that's how that works on that one. So hopefully, Paul, I was able to answer your question on that. If you guys want to get moving on some things, all you have to do is go to the rate update. Go through here, click one of these, purchase or refinance. Your application will come right to me, and then I'll be calling you. And I make sure if you do apply, I'll be calling you within 24 to 48 hours. So please answer the phone. Let me know, because what I want to do is I want to talk to you to go over what exactly are you looking for. I want to know the story. Is there, you know, can we wait a couple days and maybe your credit scores will go a little bit better or something like that. So that's what we try to focus in on. So I will be calling you if you put in your application. I'd love to help in any way I can. So let's get to the next one. Who do we got on? Paul, we did yours. We got the next one. We got Youngle. So we have a 700 credit score. Let's see what we got. 700 credit score. Let's refresh this. So Yang, I'll just say L Yang, my apologies. I just tried to read it across the board. So you have a 700 credit score. And so Yang, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run yours as an FHA and VA, or FHA and conventional, just so you get the idea what's going on. So you're going to purchase a house. It's $300,000. And through here, you're going with the 97% down, the one-time home buyer. 3% down, you're 53221. So we got 53221. And Yang, if you would, what is your income? Let's see if you have it in here. Paul, I did see you put in your income. Your income wouldn't be, you actually make, God bless you, man, you make a lot of money. You wouldn't qualify for any of the grant programs anyways, but that rate would still stick for you. Let's see. Well, Yang, we won't put in your income. Let's just run this and see how this works. I don't know if you're a first-time home buyer either, but let's run it. I'm going to put first-time home buyer in there. If you can get back with me on what your income is, just monthly income is fine, and is if you're a first-time home buyer. But let's just run this, and we got a conventional loan. Purchase price here, 97% down, 700 credit score. We put in a zip code right over through here, and let's see what we get. So what this is doing, right, $60,000 annually. You're going to see, here's what I'm, so look at this. We have a rate right here at 6.875. Okay, so, but hold on a second. I'm going to go back and revise this to your income of, it's $5,000 a month. So I'm going to put in $5,000 a month because you probably are going to qualify for that grant program that we were just talking about. Go over to the conventional. We want affordable. Let's see. So we got 5,000. You're going to see probably a much different story here. Let's see what we got. Yep. It's now 6.5. So you dropped, what was it, 6.8, I think, or 6.6 or 6.8. It does give you a better rate. And if I was working with you, Yang, I would first try to qualify you for this program that we have. So if you would, go ahead and put in your application if you don't mind, because most likely based on the criteria you gave me, you should qualify for the $7,000 grant to help you with that down payment, and you can even use it for closing costs. So, but let's go over to his right here. Let's do one quick thing. So I want to show you, though, based on this credit score, that was with a conventional loan. Let's see what it would be for FHA. So it was, I think it was 6.5. Let's get over to this. Now we need 96.5 because it requires 3.5% down. But let's look at the difference. So in here we had 6.5, 6.125. You can see that it's 3/8 lower in the rate to go with an FHA loan than a conventional loan. So these are the things that we do behind the scenes to help you navigate which program works best. And there's a lot of programs behind the scenes. A lot of people don't know. Most of our investors or lenders, they have, it's like a blue program, an elite program, a this program, and that program. If you don't know how to fit your clients into each one of those, you know, boutique programs, you're missing out. So that's the things that we do for you. And I've been doing this for over 35 years, and I just love to help you. Okay, so let's keep going down the down the charts. Dan, do you offer HELOCs on investment duplex homes? I have 3.5 fixed on my first, and I wanted don't want to talk. I agree with you 1,000%. Yes, we do. We also have the bank. Like I said, I work at a federal bank. Let me explain some of the things why I'm here. The bank I left, they got bought out by. I was at a bank previously, and then they got bought out by a huge company, and the experience was miserable, just miserable. I'll just leave it at that. We had no input in anything. It was just a daily grind. The bank I'm at now, they call. I talk to them all the time, and they're bringing on investors just because we're requesting them. And that's what we're doing. We're bringing on a credit union actually within the next 2 to 3 weeks that has 15 variations of home equity loans. You'll be able to do a first position HELOC, second position HELOC, HELOC on investment properties, duplexes, and a whole assortment of things. So that's what we're getting here soon. But please reach out to me. Shoot me an email if you would, so I can at least get your data. And I can see if I can help you now, but if I can't, I'll put you in my database or put you in my calendar that I'll reach out to you as soon as we get these home equity loans. I'll be reaching out to you. So thanks for joining me today. I greatly appreciate it, Paul. I know you're bragging about your income, buddy, but you're in good shape with that FHA. But if you do reach out to me, that will come in handy. But God bless you, brother. Because many times on here, it's sad to hear so many people just struggling and struggling and struggling. Okay, so let's see. My investment home value is around $875,000. Loan balance is $350,000. My loan is $21,500. Cash flow is $2,500. Fantastic. Don't sell. I wouldn't sell it either. It's the name of that. Yang, I just did your analysis, so hopefully that was able to help you out. Let's keep going through. 700 credit score, 400 FHA. Got it. Perfect. Thanks, Christopher. Let's get to a new search that we got out there. First position, FHA. And I don't know why with the 700 credit score, a lot of people go FHA, but there is cost involved with FHA. Because like I said, FHA, they charge clients 1.75% of the loan amount. It is financed in, but that's sometimes why you get a little bit lower rate, or in some cases a massive reduction in rate. But the clue there is the lower your credit score, the more likely you should go with an FHA loan or VA loan if you're a veteran. So let's get back to it. So we have a 700 credit score. We're going to go with FHA, and we have a $400,000 purchase. And FHA requires a 3.5% down, so that means the loan to value is at 96. First time home buyer, we're going FHA, so it really doesn't matter. It really matters when it goes to conventional lending, your income, if you're a first time home buyer. FHA, it doesn't really matter. So we're going in this one. You have a 700 credit score. Let's go over to your zip code. Your zip code is 37803. You are in Tennessee, and single family, I'm assuming, and so forth. So let's submit this and let's see where we are. You're probably right in range of that. 6.125. So we are getting in the range, folks, of almost being in the back in the 5% when it comes to government loans. So Christopher, there you go. Rates are moving a little bit today. Well, they were down 20 and they're up 5 right now. So we might have a rate revision. Let's check it out. So what you gonna need to, here's, look at these. Okay, so here's what's happening. If we go into these pricing tools, you might see like some different categories here. Here's, so far today, two banks have repriced for the better. When I say reprice, they adjusted their rate sheets and they dropped them. So the Loan Store, we're set up with them. And then Provident, there's three lenders right here that reduce their prices or rates. So if I'm in the process, if you're working with me and I see this, the first thing I'm gonna do is go back and say, whoa, I need to reprice these things, because this is what we get on a daily basis. Look at these days. Look how many reprices there were. So this is, a lot of people don't understand as well, interest rates move or change throughout the day. So here, if you go to this day, so at 11 o'clock or right around 11 o'clock, the Loan Store actually reduced their rates. Okay, they might do it 2, 3, 4 times in a day if the market's that volatile. You as the consumer don't see that. Me in this section, I see it, and that's how I can help you navigate all these things. And that's basically what I do on a daily basis on my daily channel. As I come in, I analyze these daily to help you guys understand the markets and help you capture the lowest rates you can. So that's what you're looking right through there, Christopher. And if anybody on here needs to reach out to me, just go to therateupdate.com. You can give us a call, 844-775. You can ask Dan, just put in your information here. Or you could just say, hey, Dan, here's my criteria, run pricing for me, and I'll send you right back pricing. Whatever you need to do, that's what we're here to help. But my whole goal is to help you understand how rates work and the whys behind when they change, why are they changing. So that's why I do my reports on a daily basis. So let's just kind of recap some things that we're looking at today. So let's go over what I do on a daily basis so now you can understand it a little bit more. So when I come in each day, I kind of tell you what's going on with mortgage rates and the whys behind it. And then we start digging in to things like this. Okay, the Federal Reserve's coming out, and here's the things they look at, and then here's what we analyze. So for example, if you go up to consumer confidence or existing home sales, I think there was more data out. Let me see if I can expand this a little bit further so we can get some more data in here so I can show you some more things that I monitor. And even on the weekends, believe it or not, this is where the nerd comes out, is I follow like the Israeli stock market and bond markets and things like that. So here, I can show you. Let's see what the Israeli stock exchange bond market's doing right now. I don't know if it's going to tell us. Israel bonds should tell us, where is it? It was plummeting yesterday. There we go. I think that's it. 5.07. Shoot, there's no chart to it. Well, I follow that, and I also follow some other things. Here's 10-year. Here's the chart. So yesterday, and this gives you bond yields basically all over the world. So there was a comment the other day was saying, or from somebody, well, nobody's going to buy the junk bonds that the U.S. have at this time because they're junk because of our deficit. Well, unfortunately, are you willing to put your money into, you know, Australia, Germany, Brazil's bond market, Russia's bond market, India's bond market, the Italian bond market, the France bond? Probably not. But here's what the bond yields have been doing in Israel. Since the bombing started, they just drop. And that's what we were hoping to happen in the U.S. as well. But unfortunately, it's really not going according to plan because we still have the 10-year treasury right through here. But again, the good note is if you're only watching the 10-year treasury, you can watch that. Look at a five-day chart here. Look, it's down, down, down. So if you watch this, it's most likely going to give you an inclination of where mortgage rates are going as well, but not as precise. Other news we got today, and I'll put this on my closing bell video, is home sales just hit a dismal mark. Let's get over to the economic data that we had here. And this is where I want to show you how this data really fills in the void. New home sales, last reading was up almost 10%. This time it was down 13.7%. That is a massive move in home sales. So you can see that number right through here. Building permits are staying steady. But what you want to focus in on tomorrow, initial jobless claims. If the jobless claims spikes, this is going to put more pressure on the Federal Reserve to cut rates. So that's what we're going to watch there. Durable goods orders as well. If this starts to really drop off, again, that's another sign that, well, if we don't need as much goods and services, we don't need as much employees, and that's going to cause, you know, a decline in the jobs market. And then the PCE. The PCE, what you're looking for, is actually coming out on Friday, the PCE that the Federal Reserve monitors. You're going to get a couple different factors when it comes to this. You're going to get PCE, and then you're going to get a core PCE. Federal Reserve puts a lot of weight in the core PCE. They want this at 2. So when we go through this, here's where the numbers are. We have the core PCE month over month, 0.1, expected to come in at 0.1. I hope it does. Core PCE was 2.5 year over year. And then here's the Moneyball number. PCE price year over year, 2.1. This is the one that might float over to here. And if this hits 2, it's right at the mark that the Federal Reserve is wanting. So pay attention to the CPA, the PCE, the jobs numbers, and also GDP and continued claims. And now you know why. So that should hopefully help you guys out to determine and figure out how mortgage rates are created, what I actually do for a living, and how I can help you guys when it comes to all of this. One of the biggest things of this is also your credit scores. So some of the things you can't really control, you can't really control how much money you make unless you work overtime and things like that. But what you can control is your credit scores. And a lot of people don't realize there are a lot of nuances when it comes to your credit and credit scores. So I created this website several years ago because one of the first videos I put out went viral and it was talking about different credit scores. You probably don't know that you have over 36 different credit scores. So when I ask people, you know, what's your credit score? Like I did just now, and everybody's popping up with a 700 number or something like that. Is it really? So if you go to creditscoresandmore.com, there's actually two sites I want you to go to. And I don't really want you to even spend any money unless you kind of want to. The free credit scoring system is, this is a system that's either going to go take you to Credit Sesame or Credit Karma. And if you don't use this system, please do. It's free. And don't sign up for any of the bells and whistles because you get enough in the free account. So that's what I can say there. But if you really want to monitor there's a system that I've used in back in 2008 when the world plummeted. I went through, it's called Smart Credit, and I'll show you a link. And yeah, there is a fee to it, manage your credit scores, but this system is phenomenal. So you can go in here, you can use this for 2, 3, 4 months. There's a 30-day free guarantee or money back. Try it out. And if you don't like it, go ahead and cancel. This is a system I use, and it's fantastic. You want to see a little bit about it, just click this tab right through here, and that'll help you along the way. A lot of these other systems, if you really want to know your FICO scores, and that's what most lenders are going to ask you, you can click right through here, and it's going to take you to MyFICO. Gives you a discount. I do make probably $1 if you order this, but it is going to give you your true FICO credit scores. And this is what you need if you're looking for a car or a mortgage, because what's used is your FICO credit score. And a lot of people that you put up that were giving me their credit scores today don't know what your credit scores are. And you might be amazed that it might be a lot different. Your FICO score might be a lot different than the credit scores that you usually see. But again, my name is Dan Frio. I do this report actually twice a day. I do reports to help you guys understand all these dynamics behind the rates and why they change in different programs and how you can maybe maneuver to try to fit you into a program that might give you a little bit better rate, less fees, and put you right on the path to home ownership or maybe saving a lot of money if you're looking to refinance. So again, my name is Dan Frio. I do this report all the time to help you guys understand real estate. If you want to find out more about me and my team, go to therateupdate.com. Here's a whole bunch of information up through here. You can contact us, resources, mortgage calculators, even ones that we use in our videos, tools down through here. And then we have some selected videos that we picked right here. If you're looking to buy a house, please check out this video. You might learn something there that you didn't otherwise know. If you're a disabled veteran, check out this program. It's fantastic, and it helps you maneuver through VA loans without any fees or VA fees that could save you thousands of dollars. And then if you really want to figure out your credit scores and stuff, check out this video as well to learn more about credit. So if that's it for today, folks, I am going to head out because I'll do the closing bell like Dennis told me to make sure we get that out before the closing bell actually occurs so I can give you preemptive numbers on those. So thanks for watching, folks. If you need any assistance from me, feel free. Just visit us at therateupdate.com, and you should be in good hands with us at that point. So thanks for watching, folks. I greatly appreciate it. God bless.